We read the Word of God this morning from James chapter 4. James chapter 4, considering as the text this morning, verses 13 through 17. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust, and have not. Ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask, and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? And now the text we consider this morning. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James is a familiar book of the Bible. It is an epistle, a New Testament letter. Therefore, we can compare it to the other New Testament letters that we find in the Bible. But when you read James and you think of other books of the Bible, it becomes apparent that there is a comparison between James and the book of Proverbs, a book of practical wisdom. That's what you find in Proverbs. That's what you find in James, practical spiritual wisdom. And James comes very bluntly. He's very real with the people of God. He comes and speaks of wisdom and says, you need it. Chapter 1, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. James is really even more blunt than that. Since a man lacks wisdom, he really says. And he's speaking generally about all of the people of God, about me and you. Since you lack wisdom, ask of God. In yourself, you are foolish. You don't know what is wise and what is right and what is good. You need to be busy in prayer asking God for wisdom. He's the source of all wisdom. James is very helpful and very practical in telling us how to implement that wisdom in our lives. Chapter 1, he's very practical about what pure religion and undefiled is. He says, this is it. Visit the fatherless and the widow and keep yourself unspotted from the world. And he's very practical and blunt and says, You have been given salvation. You have received new life from God. Now, this is the Christian life. Put it into practice. Follow the law of God. Love God. Love the neighbor. That's what he emphasizes in chapter 2. You say that you have faith, and James says, now, the way of foolishness is to say that you have faith and then do nothing about it. And then not give any evidence that you have faith. This is the way of wisdom. You say that you have faith. Now serve God and serve the neighbor. That is, if your neighbor is hungry and you have food, give him food. If your neighbor is naked, you have clothing, give him some clothing. Show your love for your neighbor. Chapter 3, this is wisdom. Rein in your tongue. Chapter 4, he continues in that too. This is the way of foolishness. You use your tongue to curse God or to curse the neighbor. Don't use your tongue that way. Don't attack your brother. The way of wisdom that is from above, verse 17 of chapter 3 says, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So there's much practical wisdom about religion, about serving God, about loving the neighbor. But now here in the text, there's practical wisdom about how to live our lives and to plan and to think about the future. And again, James is very direct and very real here when he's speaking to the people of God. And he says, this is an area where you have sinful tendencies. And right away, maybe we think he's talking about the young people or the young adults, but he's speaking to the entire congregation. He is very direct and says, go to now ye that say. He's saying this is a weakness to which every child of God is prone. Because of your sinful nature, because of your lack of wisdom, you have a tendency to think about the future, to make your plans, and to leave out the Lord. In verse 14, he shows how foolish that is. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And so you see how helpful, how direct, how real the wisdom of James is. He doesn't speak above our heads. He doesn't speak about abstract things. He speaks about things we need to think about, that we need to hear. And then in verse 15, he's very helpful again, telling us, don't leave the Lord out, and don't think you're in control. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Here's wisdom. That you live in the light of the will of the Lord. And that you take account in your thoughts as you think about tomorrow, as you think about what you want to do, this or that, that you think about the control and the plan of God. So here we are at the beginning of the year. I think I have it right now, 2018. The first day of the year. And this is wisdom, to live in the light of the will of the Lord. Now let's ask this morning, first of all, what is this will of the Lord that we are told to say, if the Lord wills? And it's clear here that in verse 15, James is talking about God's will that is unknown to us. It's a will that is a mystery to us. We might take it for granted. I'm going to live tomorrow. And James says, wait a minute. You don't know that. Are you going to live tomorrow? You don't know that. And what am I going to do tomorrow? I plan that I'm going to be in my study. Maybe you plan that you are going to go back to your place of work, or maybe you plan to be busy in the house or to buy groceries. But do you know that you're going to be able to do that tomorrow? And the point of James is you don't know that. It's a mystery. It's an unknown. Will I be in business tomorrow? Will I be able to buy and sell and to get gain? Will my business be successful or will it be a failure? You don't know. Will I be able to work tomorrow? We really don't know. The Lord knows. Now there is a will of God that is not mysterious to us. God has given us His will regarding our behavior in His Word, summarized in the Ten Commandments. And it would not be pious for us to say about those commandments, if the Lord wills. That would actually be an indication of a sinful attitude and a desire somehow to try to avoid carrying out the commandments of God. We understand that. Think of how foolish it would be if someone would say, if the Lord wills, I am not going to serve any idols today, and I'm only going to have the one true God as my God. That's foolish talk. We know what the Lord wills in regard to that, that we have no idols and that we serve only the one true God. No child may say, if the Lord wills, and I'm going to leave it up to the Lord, I'm going to be passive. If the Lord wills today, I will be obedient to my parents, and I will be obedient to my teachers and those who are over me. No. Every child knows that is the Lord's will. That's not a mystery. We are to live according to the very clearly revealed will of God and His commands. We know it's His will that we not murder. We know it's His will that we not steal. We know that it's His will that instead of stealing, that we work hard, perform our labors this day. But we do not know the Lord's plan. And that's what James has in mind here when he says, if the Lord wills. There's something I don't know, and that's why I say, if the Lord wills. I don't know what He has willed for the whole history of the world and the whole history of the church. I don't know what He has willed for my own life. But He does have a plan. That's something to notice here. This is a confession. If the Lord wills, He does have a plan. I don't know, but He knows because He has planned it. This is the confession that we make in Isaiah 46, on the basis of Isaiah 46, where the Lord comes to His people and He says, I am the Lord God, and I have declared the end from the beginning, from ancient times, from eternity, the things that are not yet done. I know what's going to happen. I've planned it. Everything that happens is planned beforehand by God. Now, even then, looking at the past, we put God there. That's what we do by faith. That's part of our comfort. We're able to say, as we look back, everything that has happened was planned by God. It didn't happen by accident. It wasn't done by chance. That day that I was born on a particular day was planned by God. That I was born into this family and I have these parents was planned by God. And that I have a spouse. And that the spouse is the particular person that is my spouse was planned by God. That I have children. The number of children that I have was planned by God. The schools that I've gone to. The education that I've received. The jobs that I've had. The job that I have now. The houses that I've lived in, the towns that I've lived in, the house that I live in now, all planned by God. And all of the surgeries. When I was young, and my tonsils were removed. That was planned by God. When I was older and I had to have my hip replaced, that was planned by God. That cancer surgery, to have the cancer removed was planned by God. He knows it. He knew it. We didn't, but He willed it. But now the future is different. We know the past and are able to say that God planned it, but we don't know the future. He does. This is the confession that we make in Psalm 73, verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And what we are saying is, we don't know what the future holds, but God does. And so, some of us are able to look back at the past and see so many things that have happened in our lives and say, God planned that out, He controlled that. But some of us are looking from the other perspective. There are many things that haven't happened in my life yet. And I don't know if I will be married or who my spouse will be. I don't know where or if I will go to college. I don't know what career I am going to have in the future. Whether I will have much success or not so much success. But the confession of the child of God is, it's already been planned. It's all been laid out in eternity in the perfect, unchanging, all-comprehensive plan of God. If the Lord wills. But one more thing to notice about that will. That's a mystery to us, but planned out by God. It is the will of the Lord. Now there's a question here. Is James here in verse 15 when he speaks about the Lord willing, is he talking about God, the triune God, or is he speaking about Jesus Christ, who is often referred to as the Lord? This is a sign that someone has the Spirit, that he confesses Jesus is Lord. And the reality is, we don't have to really make a choice here, because the truth is, God, the triune God, has planned all things. Everything happens according to His will. But now Jesus Christ, who has come and died and risen again and who has ascended at the right hand of God, He is the one who is in control of executing the counsel of God, carrying out God's plan. And so, what a wonderful comfort to be able to say, as a believer, I confess that everything that happens is the Lord's will, and He is the Lord who became a man for me. He is the Lord who gave His life for me to pay for my sins. He is the Lord who loves me then. He is the Lord then who wills everything for my good. I don't know what the future holds, but I know that my Lord, who is in control, He's planned it out for my good. That's the confession of faith here. Same as in Psalm 73. Why is that so important for the psalmist to be able to say that thou shalt guide me with thy counsel? Because what he's saying is, this is my God whose counsel this is. My God who loves me. My life then is not left to chance, not left to fate. The future then is not uncertain and distressing to me, but I am comforted knowing the Lord, my Savior, has planned my life for me. Now, in the light of that will of the Lord, we ask the question, as James forces us to ask that question, what's the way of foolishness then? A foolish unbelief. He speaks of that here in verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And what James is saying is, this is a tendency that you have as the people of God to act very foolishly when you're making your plans and thinking about the future. And it would be in line here for James to say one thing that is foolish is for a child of God to be fearful. For a child of God to be distressed, I don't have control of the future, and therefore, because my life is out of control, I'm scared of what's going to happen in the future. And the Word of God has to address that in some places. No, you don't look at the future as this scary, uncertain thing that's going to happen, but you look at that as all in the hand of your God. But the text here warns of another sinful danger that is often characteristic of man, and that is foolish pride. Foolish self-sufficiency. The foolishness that says, I have a plan. I will go to a city. I will stay a year. I know how long I'll be there. I'm in control of the time. I will buy and sell, and I will be successful, and I will get gain. The sinful foolishness here is that of self-confidence, presumption, self-trust, and the idea that I am in control and it's as if God doesn't exist. This is atheism practiced sometimes by confessing Christians. So James has in mind here. This is a person who will come to church on Sunday. He will hear the Word of God. He will hear the law of God. And then he will go away and he will be a forgetful hearer. He speaks of that in chapter 1. And so that as this person goes throughout his life and makes plans, it's as if God doesn't exist. And that's the sin. The problem is not that the person makes plans. I'm going to think about what kind of a business I want to have. I'm going to think about what kind of a career I want to have and how I'm going to bring these things to be. I'm going to think about what kind of an education I want, where I will go to school, and what future I want for my family. All this planning is not wrong. But James says, how are you planning? Are you making plans without God? And then are you making plans as if you are in control? And are your plans only about you? That's part of the sin here too. I will go to a city, I will stay there for a year because that's what I want. I'm going to buy and sell because that's what I want. And I'm going to make a profit because that's what I want. And no thought about God. And what he wants. And then this too. Are we open to changing our plans? Or do we act as though it's our plans that cannot change and that do not change? Our plans are the best. Maybe it's a young adult who says, I've got it all planned out. I know where I'm going to college, I know what I want to do for work, and I know just when I want to get married. And maybe they even put a number on it. I'm going to wait until I'm 26. But what if God's plan is different? What if his plan is to make you wait longer and it's not until you're in your 30s that you are going to get married? Or what if his plan is different? And he speeds up the process and brings the person into your life that he wants you to marry earlier. And maybe it's at the age of 22 that the Lord has planned for you to be married. Are you open to the plan of God, or are you so set on your own plans that if your plan doesn't come to pass, you won't submit to the plan of God? All of this is sinful and foolish. Verse 14. First of all, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. There's a lack of knowledge here on our part. Do you acknowledge that? You do not know what the future holds. And then what is your life? And what James has in mind here is how brief life is and how weak our hold on life is. He says, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And don't we experience that? Think of the people you know who didn't have tomorrow. And it looked like they would. And suddenly their life was taken away like a vapor, like steam. Disappeared. I've had that experience in my life. I've had that experience as a pastor. The phone call comes. There's been a congestive heart failure. He's gone. There's been a car crash. She's gone. But I just talked to him yesterday. I just talked to her a week ago. And there are all these plans. It's all gone in a moment, like a vapor. For other people, it might not be death, but something sudden happens. I was reminded of that just this week, just the day after Christmas. An uncle, 5 o'clock, he leaves work to go home. Thankfully, the Lord spared his life. But as he crossed the highway, his pickup was hit by another pickup. Broken ribs in the hospital. All of the holiday plans. And all of the plans maybe that he had for months to come. Suddenly, in a moment, changed. He didn't plan it. God planned it. We are not in control. And then verse 16 tells us what a great sin this is. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. And it seems that James has in mind here a person who has been living for quite a while thinking, I'm in control, I'm making my plans, and they're going very well. And he's boasting about that. Look at what I've made of my life. Look at what I've made of my business. Look at the home. Look at the cars. Look at all the possessions that I have. Look at my family. Look at my wife and my children and how well I've done. James says, that's evil. You're boasting against God. And you're not acknowledging his sovereign control. And then part of it, too, is that it's an evil concern only for this life. God's not in my plan. His kingdom is not in my plan. Serving him is not my plan. But me getting ahead. Well, now, what is the way of wisdom? No plans? Is that what James is saying to you? Don't make any plans about tomorrow or the future? Well, when we read these words, if the Lord wills, we see that James is talking about a believer making plans. He's thinking about the future. He's thinking about tomorrow, and he's saying, if the Lord wills, I'm going to do this. If I have tomorrow, and I have life, I'm going to do these things. It's wise to make plans, but with the Lord in mind, in humility. This is the opposite of arrogance, the opposite of boasting before God or against God. Now this requires, and perhaps this is most important for us, contentment, but let's notice that the way of wisdom requires also thanksgiving. You think about the future. You say, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to have. You set your goals for your career and for your family. You go out and you achieve those goals. Now what? Are you going to say, this is the business I built? This is what I've accomplished in my family. Look at all that I have done. No, if you have been saying all along, if the Lord wills, then when you have success in your life, you're going to say, this is what the Lord has done. I don't take credit for how well things have gone for me financially. God has done this. And when I look at my family and how things are going in my marriage, and if I look at my children and I'm able to say that my children are turning out well, and not just from an earthly point of view, but from a spiritual point of view, the Lord has done this, not me. But then this also requires contentment. If the Lord wills, are you ready to say that this morning? If you are, then you're going to have to say, if the Lord wills to say no to me, if he wills to come to me and say, your plan is not my plan, then I'm ready to hear it and to submit. Maybe that means the Lord never allows me to accomplish a goal that I set out to achieve. Something that was very important to me. He says, no, you're never going to have that in your life. Am I ready to say that's his plan? I'm content. Or maybe this is even harder. I don't know if I dare to say it is. For some people who never are given what they want by God, that's a very great grief. But there are some who God says, yes, I'm going to give you what you desire. That's my plan for you, but only temporarily. And what I'm saying is, he might give you a job for a little while and take it away before you wanted it to be taken away. That wasn't your will. Or give you a spouse and then take that spouse away. Give you health, but then take that health away. You become sick, disabled. And the Lord's will is the rest of your life that you live with that disability. James is saying the way of wisdom is to say, I know my life is short anyway, that it's all in the plan of God, and I know his will is good. But then finally, if we say and live this way, if the Lord wills, that means too that we are going to focus on the commandments of God. We confess that the Lord has this plan for our lives that is mysterious to us, that we don't know the future. And that's good for us to confess that and to live in the light of that, so that every day we get up, we say, the Lord's in control of my life right now, and I must live my life for the Lord. But even though we live in the light of the Lord's will concerning the future that we don't know, we don't live according to that. And that's sometimes a weakness that we Christians can fall into, that we want to live according to our plans for the future and not live in the present. Elders, and I myself as a pastor, we sometimes run into people who are struggling with that. Sometimes it's the young adults and the young people. They're so wrapped up in what they want to happen in the future that that's all that they're thinking about. They're thinking about the future and they're reaching for the future and they're forgetting about their present calling to serve the Lord. I think of the man that James is describing here in the text, a man who wants to travel tomorrow, to go to another city, to set up a business, to buy and sell and make a lot of money. This man, although James doesn't say that, but you can almost think of him as a man who maybe has a wife, maybe has children, maybe has very clear obligations today, maybe has another job that he has to perform today, but he's not interested in that. That's not really what he wants. He's so focused on the future, a better job, a better future, that he's not paying attention to his calling today. That's foolish. That's not the way of wisdom. Yes, make plans for the future, but remember, the future is not in your hands. That's in the hands of God. And that's uncertain. You cannot live as though your future plans are certain. But what you have to recognize is that the Lord has given you today. And he's given you a very clear calling for your life today. He says, are you a man? Are you a husband? Are you a father? Are you a woman? Are you a wife? Are you a mother? Is this your job as a worker? Or as a student, here's my will, here's my law, here are my commandments. Live for the Lord and serve Him in obedience to His commandments today. Here in verse 17, James says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Here James is not talking about something that's a mystery to you, that you don't know. He's saying, here's something you know. You know how you are to serve God today. To love Him. To love your neighbor. And if you turn back to chapter 2, verse 8, he says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, that is, if you live according to the commandments that he has clearly made known to you in the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. He saved you from sin. He's given you a new life. He's delivered you from merely an earthly life, pursuing merely earthly plans. Your life is to serve God, to enjoy Him forever. So let us keep that in mind in all of our plans, in all of our speech. Let's say this to ourselves, to each other. If the Lord wills, and we have tomorrow, we will do these things. But for today, we will serve Him and keep His commandments. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray for wisdom and understanding this morning. Wisdom and understanding so that we will know our own weakness and frailty, our own foolishness, so we may depend upon Thee and Thy word for wisdom. That as we go forth in the future, we may keep Thee in the forefront of all of our thoughts, and that we may never have a thought merely of what we want to do and about what is pleasing to us, but that we will always be thinking, how can we glorify Thee? And then, Lord, give us comfort, contentment as we think about Thy plan and Thy will for our lives, knowing that Thou hast planned all things for our good. And Lord, make us to focus on what is most important, obeying Thee, because Thou hast showed us very clearly how to do that. Not to earn salvation, because that is a gift that Thou hast given to us. But now, as those who are saved, we thank Thee for Thy word that calls us very boldly, very practically, to get to work, to serve Thee, to love the neighbor. May this be the characteristic of our lives today and throughout the coming year. Amen.